WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air.
Enter Hamlet.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the stings and arrows. Sorry. The slings and air. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and end. The slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them.
Ouch. That's a Hollywood heartthrob rehearsing Hamlet in a scene from the TV series Slings and Arrows, set backstage and onstage at a dysfunctional Canadian theater company that produces an annual Shakespeare festival. Slings and Arrows originated in Canada, has been shown on the Sundance Channel, and just came out on DVD. My guest Mark McKinney co-created and co-wrote the series and plays the role of the company's chief administrator, Richard Smith Jones. Richard has to deal with two temperamental directors. One is troubled but brilliant. The other is a pretentious egomaniac. Mark McKinney was a cast member of the Canadian sketch comedy series The Kids in the Hall and went from there to Saturday Night Live. Here's another scene from Slings and Arrows. Richard and one of the company's funders have just come out of seeing a production of the ABBA musical Mamma Mia. The funder is played by Jennifer Irwin.
Yes! Fantastic! Yes! That was fantastic! Oh my God, man! The dancing and the singing! I understood every word!
I know! I swear to God, it gets better every time!
Thank you! Just goes to show you gotta keep things in perspective, you know? You know, I saw Chorus Line when I was 16 on Broadway. I was blown away. You know, I cried.
I love that show.
It's what made me want to go into theater. I used to listen to all those albums, you know, Dan Yankee's Kiss Me, Kate. My parents thought I was gay. How the hell did I wind up in New Bourbon? How did that happen?
Okay, do not torture yourself. Come on, let's go for a drink.
You know what they are?
They're pure entertainment.
That's right.
I'm so sick of hearing it's a dense play. Oh, it's a difficult play. I've never seen anyone come dancing and singing out of the swan like we just did.
I know, and why do you think that is?
Well, because Shakespeare. Shakespeare's like
400 years old.
And I don't even think he was that good.
There, I said it.
I mean, you know, at entertaining people. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, ABBA were better writers.
No, I know what you mean.
I don't like Shakespeare.
Nobody does, Richard. That's the thing. You put on plays that nobody wants to see. God, what a waste.
You're right.
That's Mark McKinney in a scene from the first season of Slings and Arrows. Mark McKinney, welcome to Fresh Air. One of the things I love about Slings and Arrows is it gets to some of the things that are most wonderful about good theater and most cringe-inducing about bad theater. So I thought we'd start with some of the cringe-inducing stuff. Don McKellar, who's a really good Canadian actor, and I think director, too. Does he direct?
Director and writer, yeah.
Yeah, so he plays a very pretentious director who's originally brought in to direct, to take over a production of Hamlet. And this is a director so pretentious and so wanting to put his like own touch on everything, his own creative touch, that he did a version of The Tempest set in Nazi Germany. So let's hear a scene from episode 3 of the first season of Slings and Arrows. And this is how this very pretentious director introduces himself to the cast of Hamlet when he takes over the production.
Hello, everyone. I am Darren Nichols. Deal with that. All right. Re-Hamlet. Hamlet. This play is dead. It has been dead for over 300 years. It has been strip-mined for quotations and propped up like Lenin in his ice cave. I don't worship dead texts, but that doesn't mean I don't find interest in them. Now, as to my vision, I'm taking the word rotten, as in something's rotten in the state of Denmark, very seriously. I want a rank and foul-looking, foul-acted, and if possible, foul-smelling Hamlet. A decomposed vessel somewhere between the swamp and the sewer. Anyway, that's the general idea. Questions? Okay, let's read this corpse.
That's so great. That's Don McKellar in a scene from Slings and Arrows, playing a very pretentious director. And my guest, Mark McKinney, is one of the writers of the series and one of the stars. This character must have been so much fun to write. I'm sure you've met directors kind of like this.
Yeah, it's loosely based on a long series of discussions we had about a couple of, those angry martinet megalomaniac. Okay, help me out here. Megalomaniacal? Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we've all known a few, and so we sort of embodied it in the character of Darren Nichols. And I got to say that it's almost my favorite line in the series. My name is Darren Nichols. Deal with that. It's a perfect introductory line. I wish I could claim credit for it. I think it's Bob.
So what are some of the awful traits you gave this director?
Well, he's completely self-obsessed, and he's the second son, and Jeffrey, played by Paul Gross, is clearly the gifted one. And I think he goes around with just this hanging resentment, this bitterness that he knows he can't, dare to get it right. So he just derides and mocks, and that's where his creativity comes from, is putting down the very thing that he should be embracing.
In the final season of Slings and Arrows, there's a production of Lear that the Shakespeare Festival is doing. And the actor playing Lear is a leading Shakespearean actor who is secretly dying of cancer. And when this production happens at the end, it's after they've totally run out of money. They're only going to do it once. And so this performance that they actually do give is incredibly moving. And the actor who plays the actor playing Lear is really great. Tell us a little bit about that actor and the circumstances surrounding this performance.
Well, William Hutt, who played the character Charles Kingman, who's the dying actor, who's the heroin addict, and who plays the Lear in the third series, had actually given a legendary Lear at the Stratford Festival a couple of years before the series. And for some reason, this had never been taped. And so this is the archive of at least pieces of that great performance. And we're lucky to get it, as he actually died last year.
So he, the actor who played the actor playing Lear died not long after making the show.
No, he died, in the fall.
I'd like to play just a clip from that performance of Lear, the play within the series.
Oh, you are made of stone, and I your tongues and eyes. I'd use them so that heaven's vault should crack. She's gone forever. I know when one is dead and when one lives. She's dead as well. Lend me a looking glass that if her breath or mist will stain the stone within she lives.
LX 57, go. And stand by for curtain call, everyone.
That's a scene from Slings and Arrows, and my guest, Mark McKinney, is one of the co-writers of the series and one of the stars, and he didn't write King Lear, however.
Well, bits of it.
Bits of it, yeah. In a series about really, creative directors and actors, why did you cast yourself as the suit, the money guy, who kind of wants to be creative, but maybe really isn't?
Well, I don't know. Maybe because I sort of look at actors as something other than what I am. Do you know what I mean? I think I was kind of brought up to expect people to be reasonable. And I think artistic behavior, particularly tantrums, used to scare me when I first got into the business. And so I always had this part of myself that was wrestling with the reasonable versus the impulsive. And I see that conflict in Richard. like not sure what lane he should pick here.
So I take it you're not the kind of actor who brings the theater into real life. You know, like some people are so theatrical offstage as well as on, and they always seem to be in some kind of performance.
No, I think on the street you'd mistake me for a horticulturist.
What first got you excited about acting?
I think all the things that the characters in the place, I thought it was magic. I thought it was magical and daring and capable of achieving perfection. Does that make sense? Because mm-hmm. so few things in life really are, but it's something that you could do perfectly if you really, really worked at it.
My guest is Mark McKinney. His series Slings and Arrows just came out on DVD. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Mark McKinney. He's one of the writers and one of the stars of the series Slings and Arrows, which was produced for Canadian television, then was shown on Sundance, and now is out on DVD. A lot of people probably know you as one of the cast members of Kids in the Hall, the Canadian sketch comedy show that was shown in the United States, produced by Lorne Michaels, who also produces Saturday Night Live. Would you describe some of the characters that you originated for Kids in the Hall?
Well, I guess the characters that people know is I was one of them was the head crusher, which was sort of a misanthropic, you know, foreign bag person who crushed people's heads between his thumb and forefinger.
He didn't really. He just would look at their heads through his thumb and forefinger and act as if he was.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Then there's the blues man that you did.
The blues man that I did, Mississippi Gary, which is sort of like a reflexive commentary on, you know, my last year of university where I was flunking English but learning how to play blues harmonica.
Oh. Yeah, tell us a story about that.
Well, I was at the University of Newfoundland and not doing well. And I had a friend named Roger House who was a quite good blues guitarist. And so we left university together at the same time and sort of made our way towards Calgary where all the jobs were. And on the way, he taught me how to play blues harmonica. But just at some point, I just thought, why am I taking this so seriously? I'm a you know, son of a diplomat from Ottawa, Canada. I don't really have any business playing the blues, so... That's how Mississippi Gary was born. He knows that he's really not a blues person.
And how would you compare that show to Saturday Night Live?
Kids in the Hall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Saturday Night Live's like an institution, and I guess it's a bigger, broader American comedy. And I don't mean like in any sense that it's less. It's just that Kids in the Hall were the five of us kind of working our own little, much more personal and idiosyncratic canvas. Whereas Saturday Night Live kind of has a living newspaper, kind of instant cultural commentary feel to it to me.
Did you ever do stand-up?
Oh, once or twice. I hated it.
Why?
Oh, it was too embarrassing. I always needed a group of people to sort of be among to face the terror of stage, I think.
Have you ever had an issue with stage fright?
Yes. Yeah, I did. I think I avoided it by performing without my glasses for the first 4 or 5 years, so I couldn't see the audience ever.
Well, you know, isn't it true that mostly on stage you can't see the audience because of the way the audience is dark and the stage is light, so you're looking at the stage lights and you really can't see who's in the audience?
I guess you can't. I often didn't, but I was lucky enough to be in a David Lindsay Abaire's... second play, I think it was, Fuddy Mears at the Manhattan Theater Club. And one of the actors in the cast, the great Robert Stanton, used to come back always at halftime reporting in detail a face that he saw in the fourth row balcony and how they had been sneering at him or us. So I guess some people see it, some people don't. You sometimes vividly remember who's in the front row, though, days later.
You know, I don't act, but I've sometimes like spoken on stage, and if you can actually when the lights aren't dimmed and you can actually see who's in the audience, I find my eye goes directly to that one person who's sleeping, or I obsess on like the empty chairs and forget about the people right. who are actually there, and all you can think of is like, well, it's not completely filled. I see empty chairs in the back there, and it's really
I know exactly what you mean.
It's really rattling. Yeah.
We just did a sold-out show in San Francisco last week, The Kids in the Hall, and I obsessed about the four seats that were empty in the fifth row to the left.
And that's so unhealthy. It's like exactly what you should always be thinking about, the people who've gone out of their way to come and hear you, not the people who didn't show up.
Yeah, no, but who were those four people, Terry? Who were they?
So
why didn't they come?
So how did you get your mind off of that distraction?
You plunge back into the character. That's what I find performing on stage is like for me. It's a level. It's a meter of how much I'm into it. And if I'm at a good high level, I don't hear or see anything but the other person.
Now, one of the movies you were in was Spice World, the Spice Girls movie.
Do you want me to sign your DVD?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got everyone with me.
What was your part in it? I didn't see the movie. What was your part in it?
What? Well, why are we doing this interview? My part was George Wendt and I played sort of a producer-writer team, and he was my producer, and I was his writer. And so we're trying to concoct the movie within the movie for the Spice Girls.
But you've written so many things that you've been in. You didn't participate in the writing in this, did you?
Of that, no.
Did you wish you had? I mean, do you sometimes end up performing in something where you feel like you could make it much better if you were rewriting it?
Not often. No, I've been really lucky. Unless I'm completely myopic, I haven't been in a lot of junk, and I'm lucky that way.
You're a writer and you're an actor. Do both of those jobs draw on different parts of who you are?
Yeah, completely. In fact, they affect your lifestyle. And on Kids in the Hall, it was very dramatic because we would go through cycles, 3, 4, 5 weeks of writing, then sort of a slow prep towards performing. And when I was writing, I would be up at 8 o'clock. My place was neat. My dishes were done. I wasn't living to excess. And then as we sort of folded and became actors, you know, the laundry would pile up and the nights would get later and the behavior more irresponsible until the whole thing would sort of roll through again. And I think it does trade off completely different sides of your personality.
Why would the actor part be more like sloppy or irresponsible?
Well, because I think you're tapping into sort of an impulsivity, and I think that there's more of a certain type of adrenaline released when you're performing that, you know, makes you stick around for an extra beer or, you know, watch 3 hours of CNN before you go to bed.
Well, Mark McKinney, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Mark McKinney co-wrote and co-starred in the Canadian TV series Slings and Arrows, which just came out on DVD.